want to tell y'all I love y'all and I'm happy it's Mother's Day. All I want for Mother's Day is one child on each side of me in front of the TV with a remote control. Doing nothing. Amen. All right, you guys have your Bibles. I'm going to get right into the word today because we spend a lot of time in worship, which I do not apologize for. That is what we have been working for, teaching these messages. It's all about meeting with God. And so we want our goals here. We have four words that sum up our purpose and our mission and our values. They are real change now go. The first one is we want people to experience a real encounter with God. And so we might take a little longer than some people are used to in worship because worship really does help connect us with God. We want people to have an encounter with God. Change happens in community and small groups. That's why we encourage you to get in small groups like our prayer group on Saturday nights or Wednesday night Bible study. Those are small groups so you can see transformation happen. Now, serving in our church, we encourage you, if you don't have a place of service, to come see me or Pastor Jen. We'll get you plugged in. And then going, which is going and telling someone about Jesus. And that is what we love to do, is telling other people about Jesus. And so we are walking you through the tabernacle. Y'all ready? I didn't give you a scripture yet. No wonder nobody's turning. Y'all all, I was like, why nobody flipping? Exodus chapter 30. We're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 30, verse 1, and then we're going to jump down to Exodus chapter 30, verse 7 through 8. We are walking through the Old Testament tabernacle and the tent of meetings, and we're looking on Sunday morning at the furniture, and we're seeing how Jesus is all up in there and how he is desiring and teaching us how to fellowship with him. And the funny part is, 8 weeks in, we still haven't met with God yet. We're on the last piece of furniture before we actually get to meet with God, y'all. This has been a process, and I hope that we take from that that coming to God and being in his presence is a process. It's not something we should take lightly, but something that we should enter into with reverence and with an idea that it's purposeful and meaningful as we approach him. All right, you have it? Y'all been standing for so long, but because of the reverence of God's word, look, you can stand about 3 seconds longer, a minute longer. Come on, stand to your feet. I'm going to ask you to lift your Bibles or your electronic devices in your high in the air. We're going to say our Bible affirmation together. Ready? Okay, let's see if you know it by heart. We've been having problems with our machine this morning, but that's okay. Do you know it by heart? There it is. This, oh, y'all got out easy. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. All right, Exodus chapter 30, verse 1, and then we're going to jump down. Verse 7 through 8. All right. Ready? I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words are on the screen. Take a look there, and let's, for the sake of us reading together, read from there. Ready? You shall make an altar to burn incense on. You shall make it of acacia wood. And jump down to verse 7 through 8. Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning when he tends the lamps. He shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Father, thank you so much for this message. I pray that you would come in, move me aside, make it clear, make it plain, make it relevant, living and active for each and every person that's here. Father, thank you for this word. I pray that you would teach us to shift the atmosphere in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to shift the atmosphere. All right. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. The title of my message today is Shifting the Atmosphere. So we have been talking about the tabernacle. We talked about the outer court with the brazen altar. And we talked about the wash basin. The brazen altar represents the cross. The wash basin represents God washing us of the residue of sin. Then we enter underneath this tent. And as we entered underneath the tent a few weeks ago, we talked about the table of showbread or the bread of presence. And we talked about how that bread of presence provides God's provision in our life. And then last week, we talked about the golden lampstand. How many of y'all know that was a word from the throne, or if you were here? If you missed that one, please grab the podcast. It's absolutely free. It's on our website. It is so amazing, because we talked about the fact that Jesus is the light, but that we are also the light. And we said that Jesus said that we are a city on the hill that's to be shined brightly. So last week we had some people on one side of the room who were coming out of dark, coming out of hiding. Come on, anybody was excited to come out of hiding? coming out of hiding and letting your light shine. And on the other side of the room, we had some people who were just sitting as a cleft on the rock, allowing the Lord to work on them until they were ready to shine out publicly. And so that's where we are in our tabernacle discussion today. We are on the last piece of furniture in the holy place, which is, do you have my sketch? The last piece of furniture in the holy place, which is here. We are in these three. So we've done the table of showbread, the lampstand. Now we're in the altar of incense. Next week, we are going to cross over into the Holy of Holies, which is where the presence of the Lord dwells. So get excited, because next week's going to be fun too. Yeah, next week. Yeah, making sure. All right. So let's show that picture of the altar of incense. I want to show you what it looks like. The altar of incense actually is built, and it looks very similar, if you see it, to another piece of furniture in the tabernacle, which is the brazen altar. Can you switch over to the other one? If you'll see it, this is where they sacrifice and kill things. It still has four corners. It has the four horns. It has the poles for transporting. And then you go to the altar of incense, switch back, and you'll see that it's just a smaller version. Go ahead and switch back, Anna Maria. It's just smaller version of a similar type of altar. And I've always found that very interesting, because what it tells me is that the brazen altar was the altar on the outside where they would kill animals and they would sacrifice animals in place of our sins. And then you get to the altar sense, and that is an altar where you would sacrifice something as well. Let me go back. The brazen altar is where you kill an animal to sacrifice something for our sins. The altar of prayer is where you kill you. So today I'm going to be talking about shifting the atmosphere. But before I get to the part about shifting the atmosphere, I got to talk to you about prayer. Because the altar of incense represents prayer. It's all about the place of prayer, about focusing on us communicating with God. Some people say, well, what is prayer? Prayer is simply us talking to God and God talking back. Let's not forget that second part. Most of us think it's just us telling God what we want. No, prayer is us talking to God about how we feel, about what's going on in our lives, about interceding or praying for someone else. But it is also, and more importantly, a place where God will talk back to us. So I want to talk to you today about prayer, because what's interesting about prayer is prayer is not something you can see in the natural. Prayer is something that happens in the invisible realm. When you pray, that's why they talk about, you know, you could take prayer out of school. You can never take prayer out of school as long as I'm in the school. Because I can pray anywhere I go. I don't need you to tell me I can pray to know that I can pray, because I can pray anywhere. You can lock me up in a jail cell, I can still pray. You can take me in a school that says you can't pray, and I can still be praying. I may not be on my knees with my hands lifted up, but I can still talk to God. I can still walk with God. I can still, even while I'm talking to you right now, I could be praying. You never even know I'm praying for you while I'm praying. Prayer is mobile. Prayer is invisible. You cannot see prayer. And it's very important that you understand that, because most people, they think that prayer is something that is so difficult to achieve. It really isn't. It's simple. It's just you and God talking. You don't have to use any these and thous and does and, oh, thou is most greatest is goddess, I come before you. God is like, who are you talking to? And what are you talking about? You don't even know what you're talking about. Just talk to God the way you talk to your friend. Not maybe as casually where you're using some cuss words, but, you know, the way you would normally just say, God, look, I'm tired today. God, I'm stressed out. Lord, I need you. It's very simple. So I don't want to complicate prayer. I want to make it very simple for you today. But I want you to understand that because prayer is invisible, what prayer is doing is it is doing things in an invisible nature. So prayer will do something in the invisible realm, but you will see the effects in the natural realm. And the best way I can describe that is as we talk about the atmosphere. Now, when I lived in St. Louis, I used to watch the weather report all the time, because I didn't know if I had to shovel snow or if I needed a jacket or a coat. Living out here, I know some of y'all feel like it'd be cold. It's like 50 degrees. I gotta watch the weather. I really don't watch the weather here. So watch this. But when I did, I noticed that there was always one thing that would affect the weather. There was one thing that would affect the climate, and it would be the atmosphere. Atmosphere speaks of a pervading or surrounding influence or spirit. Atmosphere for us can be our general environment or a mood or even a spirit. You ever walk into a room and it felt funky? Okay, try walking into a married couple's house after a fight. They might be smiling, but you like, something ain't right. Right? Try talking to a child after a child's gotten in trouble. You walk in, you say, oh, hey, pastor. I got an attitude because them boys, right? There's something that changes in the atmosphere when our mood changes. This is the reason why moms, people say, as mom goes, so the house goes. As mom's attitude is, so is the attitude of the house. So all of you children and husbands, it would do you well to make mom happy. Because if mom is happy, the rest of the house is going to be happy. But when mom got an attitude and mom's mad and you didn't clean your room and you didn't do what you're supposed to do, the whole house feels off. It feels weird. And so what we're talking about when we talk about the atmosphere is not the atmospheric pressure, which determines if it's going to rain or snow. We're talking about the spiritual climate, the emotional climate, the mood that's happening in the room, as well as what's happening in the spiritual realm around you. And we're going to talk about that and how to actually completely shift and change that atmosphere. But before I talk to you about that, there are some things that I must talk to you about on the altar of incense. And the first thing I want to talk to you about the altar of incense is that in order for you to have an altar of incense and to have incense burn, you got to have fire. Somebody say fire. Fire is fun if used appropriately. Responsibly. All of y'all are like, ooh. Fire's cool, right? There are some things you have to understand about the altar of incense. When you want to burn incense, you got to use fire. If God wants to develop a prayer life in you, he's going to bring fire. Let me see if I can help make this clear. You don't pray unless something is wrong. Many of us will not say, we might say, thank you, Lord, for this food. Bless him, maybe for nourishing my body. Amen. We might say that prayer. But I'm talking about where you are on your knees crying out, God, I need you, until something go wrong. Let somebody in your family that you love, not the ones you just know, but let somebody in your family you love pass away. You crying. You crying out to God. Lose a job. You start crying out to God. Get your trouble in marriage. You start crying out to God. Fire causes us to pray. And it's not that God is like, I want to bring fire to them so they'll pray. It's that they need me to light a fire under their you know what, because they won't pray if I don't do something. I don't want you to feel like God is bringing difficult times just to get you to pray. That's not what you're doing. God will allow things to come, especially when we have walked away or we're not seeking him the way that we should, to bring us back to him. So fire is a good thing when it comes to God. As a matter of fact, God is called an all-consuming fire. He is a fire that comes. And when that fire comes, he comes and he says, okay, now come on, get to the altar, let's pray. And as you pray, what fire does is fire changes you. You're trying to change situation, and God's saying, I got to change you before I change your situation. Okay, no, we don't want to say amen and hallelujah to that. Because, Pastor, I like me like I am. I like being mean to folks. This is why God say pray for your enemies. You know why he say pray for your enemies? Because he's not trying to get your enemies to change. He's trying to get you to stop being nasty and mean and have an attitude towards the people who doing you dirty. And you might say, well, I'm completely justified in doing that. Yes, you are, but before God, you're not. God was like, well, I didn't do anything wrong when they nailed me to a cross. You didn't see me cussing them out. I was like, Jesus, I'd have cussed them out. Nail you. But God is saying, when you pray, what happens is I can start to work on you. Fire comes and it brings transformation. You ever seen a piece of wood burn? When a piece of wood burns, it don't stay like a piece of wood. It turns into ash. Even when gold gets burned, it gets malleable where you can change it and shape it. And all God is trying to do is shape us, because there's something he's trying to do. So fire comes in order to change us so that we can be in a position to be able to create change. Matter of fact, Psalm 119:71 says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." One person, praise the Lord. It is good for me that I have been through all the mess I've been through. It's good for me that I have been through the trials that I've been through. It's good for me that I've had to walk through the mess and the tribulation and the stress and all the people talking about me and all the people walking away from me and all the people abusing me. It's good for me that I've been through that, because when I go through that, I learn more about you, God. When I go through that, I get changed to become more like you, God. When I go through that, I begin to understand more about you, God. I thank God for the fires that have come in my life, because it is the fires that have brought transformation in my life. I say this all the time. I will with 100% share this with you, that if it had not been for my husband passing away, I wouldn't be preaching. And I sure wouldn't be pastoring a church. But it was in that trial that God met me. And I came out stronger, and I came out better, and I came out wiser. I came out kinder. Oh, my God, I was so mean. But I had to go through stuff. And nobody wants to go through stuff. People say, "Lord, give me patience." Y'all need to stop praying that prayer. Because when you pray for God to bring you patience, you know what he's going to do? Send people who going to get on your last nerves and try your patience. Just stop praying the prayer and just be like, "Okay, God, you're going to do it anyway, so just whatever." God, it takes fire to transform us. It takes fire to change us. It was good for me that I was afflicted. Some of you, God is just setting you on fire because he wants you to become a prayer warrior for his glory. Some of you moms, you don't understand that all the things that you're going through, the difficult times, is because God's trying to set you on fire so that you will change atmospheres with your prayers. Let me tell you something. You can't shift an atmosphere if there's no fire, and I'm going to prove it to you in just a second. You cannot change an atmosphere if there's no fire, because people don't run from fire. People don't run when there is no fire. They run when there's a fire. If I say, don't run. If I say fire, everybody in here bouncing. Demons flee when they see fire. They can't stay. They don't want to deal with the heat. They got to go. Everything, now watch this, fire comes at a cost. Everything at the altar of incense cost us something. The tree had to be cut down to be shaped. The gold had to be put in the fire to be made and malleable to put over it. We are not just building an altar of incense this morning. I am trying to build in you a transformation in your prayer life. Because God is doing something. So there's the fire. Let's go to the second thing. The second thing you need to know about this altar of incense is that there was a priest. So the first thing is the fire. The second thing is the priest. The priest is so important because, can you put the sketch back up? Because the point of the priest is everybody could not go into the holy place. Only the priest could go into the holy place. And the priest would have 12 jewels, and we're going to talk about this Wednesday night in Bible study. The priests are going to have 12, they have 12 jewels on their breastplate, which represented the 12 tribes of Israel. You have to know that in the outer court, anybody could come and bring a sacrifice, but not everybody could go behind the veil and get underneath the tent. Only the priest could. And the priest with the 12 stones went in representing the 12 tribes of Israel, which meant they were carrying the tribes of Israel in with them, and they were talking to God on behalf of the children of Israel, which meant that the priest was acting as an intercessor, which means he was interceding between the people and God. Jesus Christ is our high priest. Jesus Christ is our intercessor. The Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, making intercession on our behalf. You have to understand what's happening, that Jesus is man on the inside. You ever have a situation where you're trying to get through something and you can't break in, but you know somebody who worked there? You know, you're trying to get a job, you're trying to get a hookup, and you know somebody who worked there, you'd be like, ooh, I got a man on the inside that can help me with that. Jesus is your man on the inside. You're trying to break into situations that you don't know how to get into. Stop trying to figure everything out and use the man on the inside to go and intercede. He's going to talk to God on your behalf, and he's going to, come on somebody, make God open up ways for you that would have never been open to you if it had not been for Jesus. He's the man on the inside. When you get stressed and you get worried about how you're going to work things out, just stop stressing. Go to the man on the inside and say, go to God and tell God, help me figure this out. But you got an inside track, and that's your intercessor. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Jesus knows where you're weak, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet he was without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. So I get to come boldly because I have an intercessor who will grant me mercy and grace to give me help in the time of need. And Hebrews 7:25 says, he always lives to make intercession for them. You know what Jesus is doing? Sitting at the right hand of God going, look here, God. They light bill due. And they ain't got no money. Now you have all riches. So what you gonna do? And God says, oh, I'll just open up the windows of heaven then. God, you know they screwed that one up, but we still like them, right? Give them a little grace. God says, all right, because you asked me, I'm gonna give them grace. See, you got a man on the inside. He's working for you. And when you pray for someone else, you become the man on the inside. Because you talk to God on somebody else's behalf. And God will then listen to you the same way, come on somebody, that he listens to Jesus. And he'll say, because of the man on the inside who's praying for you, I'm going to open this up for you. Because you got to, that's why some of y'all like to go to certain people who can, because y'all like, ooh, they can reach Jesus. They got the hookup, she said. There is a lot of truth to that. There are some people who know how to intercede on behalf of other folks in a way that you'll see God move. But I want you to know that every person in here who is a believer has the hookup too. You don't have to come to me to pray. You can go to God. You just go straight to Jesus. You can skip the middleman. Just skip me and go right to Jesus. I will pray with you because the Bible tells us where two or three are joined together, there he comes right in the middle of that. I will pray with you. One can chase 1,000. Two can chase 10,000. There is a joy when we come together corporately in prayer. So I don't want to knock that. But I also, when you at work and folks are you struggling and you done heard they about to lay people off, you ain't got time to be calling me in the middle of that situation when you thinking they about to hand out a pizza. Just get to praying for yourself. If it's 2:00 in the morning, don't call me because you got a prayer need. You know how to talk to Jesus for yourself. Now, when you see me at church at 10, then let's talk. And then I will join you in prayer. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be mean. But a lot of people think I can only get a prayer through if I talk to her. No, y'all have to stop thinking that. God wants you to have your own prayer life so that, watch this, not only can you intercede on behalf of yourself for your situation, but you can intercede on behalf of your family members. You can intercede on behalf of your children. Come on, you can intercede on behalf of your neighbors, on behalf of your coworkers. You're supposed to be that light that's shining, and people ought to see you and know something different about you. And what's the difference? I got a connection with the man on the inside, and I'm praying for you. Something ought to be different when we become, look, we are the priest too. I know people don't like that, but it's biblical. I'll prove that on Wednesday night. If you don't like it, I ain't got time to prove it now. Now, here's the third thing. So first is fire. Second is the priest. The third thing I want to talk about is the smoke, because here's where we get to the shifting of the atmosphere. I find it interesting that God said there's bread, there's light, and then there's this altar of incense. The room is completely covered. There's no windows. But I see God hitting all of our senses. The bread deals with our flesh, the physical. The light deals with our eyes. And the incense deals with our smell. And I was like, God, what are you doing? And God was like, I want you to understand that I want to connect with you in every level, in every way possible. I want you to be able to see me and experience me. And so I thought about it when I started thinking about the atmosphere. God was saying, he said, I want there to be a perpetual offering on incense. I want the incense to continuously be burning so that the smell in the room changes. Now, if you just think with me with your senses for a minute, at the brazen altar, we're slaughtering sheep and goats and cows. You know what that smells like? And burning flesh. That's a nasty smell. It's funky. So you got that smell on you. You washed the physical residue off, but the smell is still on you. You ever been around somebody who smoke and you leave and you're like, my hair stink. It's funky. I don't like to be around people who smoke because I don't want to walk out with my clothes and my hair will stay funky for a long time if I'm, you know what I mean? And sisters, we don't like to, we can't be washing our hair every day. So I thought about what must the priest have smelt like when they offered that filthy, nasty sin and killed animals. Even though they're physically washed and the blood is off, what's the stench on them? And God is like, you cannot come in my presence when there is an atmosphere that's funky and stenchy. You can't pray when you got funk with somebody else. That's what the Bible says. If you got alls with somebody else, before you come to the altar, leave your stuff at the altar, go fix that, and then come back and talk to me. Because I can't deal when the atmosphere, when you got a stench on you of unforgiveness, when you got a stench on you of lying, when you got a stench on you of not treating somebody right, God can't deal with that. That's why he's trying to fix you first. Oh, we don't want to say amen. Because I just want to go up to God and pray about how awful they are. And God is like, you know, go fix it and then come talk to me. I believe that some of us are struggling in our prayer life and not seeing prayers answer because there were things that God told us to go fix. But we didn't want to fix them. And we kept coming to God like, God, fix my cousin. God, fix my spouse. God, fix my auntie. And God is like, go apologize to them. And you come back, God, fix my cousin, fix my auntie, fix my spouse. Go apologize to them. God, fix my cousin, Lord. And then you start praying them Holy Ghost prayer, Lord Jesus, if you'd only just come down and touch their heart. And God is like, go and ask them for forgiveness and get out of my face. Don't come. Watch this. And he'll keep saying it over and over and over and over. You can't move. You can't get a new word about something different. You can't think about nothing. Every time you read the Bible, you in Leviticus, it's on forgiveness. You in the Psalms, it's on forgiveness. You in Song of Solomon, it's on forgiveness. You in Proverbs, it's on forgiveness. You in Revelation, it's on forgiveness. Every time you open the book, it's on forgiveness. Every time you go to church, they preaching about tithing, but you hear forgiveness. You know why? Because God is not going to move from that spot because he can't deal with that stench on you. I know people who God has spoken to them to leave someone that they were dating and they wouldn't leave them. And it's been years that they've been with them and they have been stuck in their relationship with God. They have been stuck financially. They have been stuck with their family and not seeing any changes. They have been stuck and they keep coming to me saying, I wonder why God's not moving. And I say, is that person still in your house? Well, yeah. Well, there you go. 7, 8 years later, God serious about this. There is a stench we bring in when we may have asked God for forgiveness at the altar. We may have dealt with the residue, but some of us still funky before God because we are disobedient. And God's like, I got to change. If I'm going to change the atmosphere, I got to change it on you so we can do something different. So he says there has to be an aroma in the air that will hit you and take the stench off of you so that you'll now start to smell pleasing before me. Now watch this. I hope this works. God wanted a scent and aroma to come into the room, so he would use the burning and he would put on. Okay, so Jennifer don't want me to blow the place up, first of all. Alex went and got the fire extinguisher. Come on, people. In Jesus' name, this gonna work. CJ and I ain't blow nothing up. It takes a little bit of time. The fire takes a minute to work. It's not going to blow up, I promise you. The fire takes a minute to work. You ever touch fire and it don't burn immediately? It kind of take a while. If you hold your hand there for a little bit longer, it'll burn. It's taking a minute. See, Jen, I ain't put enough oil on it. See, she thought I was going to blow the place up, but I didn't put enough oil on it. Just saying. We're going to make this work. Come on, Jen, you can do this while I talk. No, let's get somebody who ain't scary. Come on, Kelsey. Oh, you know what? Because the air conditioning's blowing. That's what's happening. Okay, there we go. If you keep it on the little rock. Okay. Oh, there we go. All right, there we is. Now, somebody hit the house lights, not the stage light. If you hit, can y'all see the smoke starting to burn? Okay. Look at that. You see the smoke? The smoke comes, and it's a visible representation of stuff changing in the atmosphere. The smoke is meant to show a visible change in the atmosphere. Because remember, prayer is invisible. So since prayer is invisible, God uses the fire to get set, and he releases a smoke, which brings an aroma, and it changes things. The atmosphere gets changed when you pray. When you pray, you are releasing smoke in the spiritual realm. And that smoke is designed to push and move and to create a shift. The smoke impacts the atmosphere. Let this burn long enough, and everybody in here going to be smelling it. Now, what's interesting is there's incense. There's frankincense in here. And what's funny is I did this in my dining room, which was kind of an enclosed room. And when I did it, I let it burn for a while. And as I let it burn, my children came home because they didn't know what I was doing. And they walked in and they say, "What's that smell?" They walked into the room in the house and they said, "What's that smell?" If you have a house of prayer, if your home is a house of prayer, if you are a prayer warrior, when people encounter you and come in your house, they're going to say, "What's that thing happening on you? What's going on over there? There's something different. It's impacting me. It's changing. I don't know what it is, but something smells different up in here. It's not funky. It's not bad. It just smells different up in here. There's a problem that, ooh, that's starting to get kind of big. There's a problem that I have because it smells different." Watch this. Yeah, it got a little bigger than I thought. When it started popping, I got to put the top on. Watch this. Oh, y'all ain't right. This ain't going to be no Michael Jackson moment. Hush up. It smells funny because prayer is influence. It influences things. It changes things when you pray. Some of the things you've been complaining about, the reason you're complaining is because you haven't been praying. Because when you pray, the aroma will begin to change the atmosphere. Some of you have been living in atmospheres that are discouraging and depressing. And God brought you there because he wants you to start praying so you can change the atmosphere. So that smoke will go up and something different will happen. It doesn't matter. He said they were in the desert. I know you're in the desert. I don't care if you're in the desert. Pray, because if you pray, the atmosphere is going to shift around you. If you pray, you'll realize that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. If you pray, you'll realize that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. If you'll pray, you'll realize that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. If you'll pray, you'll begin to realize that if God is for me, who can be against me? If you'll pray, you'll start talking about people and stop talking about people and realize that God is going to change and shift relationships. I need some people who will make a decision that I'm going to let it smoke up. I'm going to go ahead and let my house be filled with smoke. I'm going to let a fire burn with prayer. I'm not going to go home and let my house be funky and nasty. I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to offer prayer unto God. And as I offer prayer unto God, a sweet aroma begins to breathe in the house. This is why. If you got a husband that's crazy, pray. If you got a wife that's crazy, pray. If you got kids that's crazy, pray. Because the atmosphere will hit them when they walk in the door. And all of a sudden, they'll start acting right now and even know why. Can you smell? Oh, you see it now. You see it now. You see the? You see it? You smell it? Can you start? Can y'all start to? It's too far in the back. You'll smell it eventually. Are you starting to smell it? It's starting to hit. Watch that. This is a teeny little altar. The room they were in was maybe smaller than this stage. And the altar of incense was way bigger. God wanted that room smoky when you went in there. That smoke is that cloud that represents his presence. And he wanted, as soon as the priest walked in, to sense the presence of God. To see it with the smoke and to recognize that God, the atmosphere is different in the tent than it is out in the outer court. Your kids can go to school anywhere they want to, but when they come in your house, the atmosphere ought to be different. They can go out there with folks who crazy, who fighting and backbiting, talking about them, bullying them, but when they get in your house, there ought to be an aroma of sweetness, of prayer, of love, of encouragement. I cannot parent well by myself. I am a single parent, but I'm not by myself. God spoke to me a long time ago, and he said, you're not doing this alone. You think you're doing this alone, and that's the problem. But when I start to offer incense up on behalf of my children, watch this. Something in the atmosphere changes around me, and God shows up and he speaks to me, and he tells me just what they need. He tells me just how to talk to them. He tells me just where they're hurting. So all you moms today, you know what I want you to do today? I want you to start offering up some prayer incense. Don't literally get incense, but start praying and watch the atmosphere change. You need a healing. Stop acting like it's God's will that I got this. It ain't God's will that you got this. God's will is that we're all healed. There is a devil that wants to see you hurting and in destruction. And so what happens is when you pray, okay, this is going to be hard. Whew, it's going to be a little hot. Got it. When you pray, you light a fire. And you say, God, the doctor said I got cancer, and I don't know what to do. No, I don't have it. The children started. This is an illustration. The kids start getting scared. I don't have cancer, guys. But when I hear a diagnosis like that, all I've got to do is go and say, let me get in the altar. Let me get in the altar. Let me just pray. It might take some time before I see a difference, but if I just pray, if I can just keep praying, God, I believe you. I trust you. I know you're working. God, show up. The atmosphere starts to change. The enemy has to move, and he has to flee, and he has to go. Why? Because the smell's in the room, and he can't take it. Now, what was funny last night is as I was doing this, the house got filled with smoke, and the boys came in. Jeffrey, I love Jeffrey. Jeffrey said, what's that? I said, it's for an illustration I'm doing tomorrow. I'm testing it out. And he said, well, why does it smell funny? I said, that's frankincense. He said, why would they bring that to the baby Jesus? Thought that was so funny. And then he came upstairs and says, Mom, I got a headache. That smell is strong. Watch this. When you pray, it starts influencing the natural. That was a smell that hit, that he was like, I got a headache. What? There was nothing wrong. He went upstairs, went to sleep with no problem. But the point is, it influences things in the natural. So you may not see it, but what you have to do is learn how to see the smoke when nobody else is seeing it. You have to learn that the smoke is going when nobody else is understanding what's happening. So what do I want you to do with this week? I want you to pray. I just want you to pray. The other part about this is he wanted this altar of incense to burn continually, which meant he wanted it to constantly be on fire. Prayer is supposed to be constant in our lives. It's not like the emergency fire thing you crack open when you're in trouble. You should constantly be praying all day, every day. If you don't know how to do that, that's what Saturday night is for. Saturday night, Pastor Jen teaches us how to pray. If you don't know how to pray, we're not going to leave you out there. Just go see Pastor Jen on Saturday night from 6 to 8 in this room. If you can't make Saturday night, every day of the week, we have a prayer call. On the website, if you go to the website, you can find our prayer call. I meant to have some flyers for y'all, but I got a little busy this weekend. There's a prayer call on Monday at what time? Say it out loud. 6:45 a.m. There's a prayer call on Tuesday at 5 o'clock p.m. There's a prayer call on Wednesday at 12 o'clock noon. So those y'all, I mean, already we got three different times a day you can come. On Thursday, we have a prayer call at 12:15. On Friday, we have a prayer call at 5:30 a.m. For those of y'all who really want to know Jesus, he get up early. Saturday, 6 to 8 o'clock, there's corporate prayer, which is amazing. And then on Sunday mornings from 9:15 to 9:45, there's prayer. Every day of the week, we have been praying this year. You know why? Because God says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And we are making this a house of prayer. We are not going to go any further as a church. For 20 years, we've had church and we prayed sporadically. But God said, no more. Every day, I want prayer offered in the life of this church. One of our leaders, one of our prayer leaders, is leading a call every single day. Thank you for putting that up. You can't really see it, but that's how you get to it. Go to Connect. Is it under Connect? Under Connect, and then prayer calls. And it'll have the time as well as the dial-in number with the access information for you to pray. Next week, I'll make sure I have cards for you. Here's what I want you to do this week. Look on the website. You can't see it. It's too tiny. Everybody stand to your feet. Is it getting big? Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. I forget about it sometimes, and you just, yeah. Look at that. Here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to pray. I want you to make a commitment. I don't want it in my hair. I want you to make a commitment. Wow, then now it does it well. Look at that. Come on, Jesus, at the end. Now you can see it. Y'all see that? Ooh, hope to smoke. Let's hurry up for the sprinklers. Come on. What I want you to do is do me a favor. This week, make a commitment to hop on at least one of those prayer calls or come on Saturday night. Join us corporately for prayer. The other thing I'd like for you to make a commitment to is say, I'm going to just take 5 minutes every day, and I'm going to pray. If you want to make that commitment, come to the altar because I want to pray over you to encourage you, and then we're going to let our guys do a special presentation. So if you want to make the commitment to say, one day this week, I'm going to join one of those prayer calls, I'm going to make sure that I pray every day, I want you to come on up. For our prayer leaders, I want you to come up because I want to pray over you too, because I believe God's doing something. I just want you to make a commitment. I'm not going to ask you to say nothing. You're just coming, and I want to pray over you. Boy, because I want y'all to get close to the smell. Come on down here so you can get close to the scent. Who turned the air back on? Y'all, now you're messing it up. I want the scent in. Y'all's trying to save the smoke. But look how it's still lingering. You see that? You can now see the beams. Oh, man, I'm just so deep. Okay, can y'all smell it? Oh, now the whole place is smoky. I love it. You see it? Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for every person at the altar who's making a commitment that they're going to pray this week. Lord, we may not even understand about prayer or how to pray, but God, we're going to commit every day, 5 minutes. We're going to lift our voice and we're going to pray. And then, Lord, I pray that each one of us will get on a prayer call or come and visit us on Saturday or Sunday morning at 9:15 to come and corporately pray. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will begin to, thank you, Jesus. I sense that over everybody at the altar, atmospheres are shifting. Even now as you make your commitment, atmospheres are shifting. I declare, Father God, that you're changing the atmosphere right now. You're changing marriages. You're changing families. You're changing finances. You're changing children. You're changing destinies. You're changing homes. You're changing things even now as they make a commitment, Lord. I pray that you would use those who make a commitment this week to shift the atmosphere in their families, their communities, their neighborhood, their jobs, that you would change and transform things, oh God. Speak in a mighty way. Lord, may there be a beautiful, fragrant aroma that's all over them as they come out of prayer and they go and they impact and become a light in the community. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, Amen, amen, amen. All right, you may be seated. I got one quick thing. Come on up, Jonathan. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.